You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the important thing to note is that no family is any worse off just because Treasury have now found they made an error in their calculations. What the Treasury was trying to do was to project forward and work out how many children would be lifted above particular poverty lines. Actually, they chose a particular poverty line. And it's that calculation which is now in doubt. It sounds like they've overestimated the number of children that would be lifted above that particular poverty line.
Have they substantially overestimated it? It's quite a striking number.
They haven't said that. They haven't indicated the extent of the mistake. Because they've made a big fuss about it and put out a statement about it, one suspects that it will be a significant error.
And this goes for both Labor and National's proposed child poverty plans, right? It wasn't just for one of the parties.
Oh, that's right. And the truth is that the model that they use is very complex. They've been saying that it's got 1,000 lines of input data, and one of those lines they found a mistake in. So it's not surprising that mistakes creep in. These calculations are fiendishly complicated, and probably we put too much emphasis on a simple figure like X number of children lifted above the 50% poverty line, because the way in which the amounts are calculated is highly subjective and open to debate as to how you do it. And that's why we actually need to have a whole raft of measures to be sure that our policies are actually achieving the good outcomes for child poverty that we'd hoped for.
What kind of alternatives to Treasury's projections do we have to rely on for understanding how these policies might work in the future? Or is this sort of our one limited resource?
Well, they're talking about one poverty line. There's a number of different poverty lines and a number of different ways of calculating them before taking into account housing costs, for example, after housing costs. And there are hardship measures which are not income-based but actually look at the numbers of children in families that are experiencing a range of different lacks in their living standards, like, for example, not being able to heat the house, not being able to afford to go to the doctor, those kind of things. We would also advocate for other measures such as food bank usage, the incidence of third world diseases in our hospitals, those sorts of things to paint a broader picture of the living standards of low-income families and what is being achieved.
I wanted to ask you about the families package from Labor that has been delayed until July 1st. Could you tell us a little bit about what the package involves and what the effect of leaving this to or pushing it back till July might be?
Yes, well, we're disappointed that it can't come in on the 1st of April. I haven't yet seen a reason for the delay. It's 3 months, and that's too long for the really poorest families to wait for the kind of adjustment that is well overdue. And we're talking here about mainly adjustment to the family tax credits that families in low incomes receive.
Are you able to give us an idea of how the family tax credit works? Because I know for someone like myself, that's a pretty, just trying to read about it online, it's quite a complicated issue and there's a lot going on. And I also feel that sort of the bureaucracy behind this would make it challenging for those families seeking help to actually achieve that sometimes.
Yes, on the whole, it shouldn't be too difficult. It should be done reasonably automatically. The IRD pay these tax credits to the caregiver based on joint family income. And so that amount is received in maximum up to the threshold. The threshold's about just over 36,000 currently. And it's a per child amount per week. So the first child currently, it's sitting at about $98 for the family tax credit, and then over and above that you can get another credit called the in-work tax credit if you meet the criteria, and that's $72.50. So for a one-child family, you're looking at that $92.98 plus $72.50 per week going to the caregiver, and that's the Working for Families assistance received in maximum up to the threshold. Once the threshold is passed, then the amount the family is entitled to reduces by 25% for each extra dollar over that threshold. So eventually you reach an income level where there is no entitlement to these tax credits.
Do we think that that limit is set at the right amount?
Well, definitely not. And National were actually going to push it down even further to $35,000.
They wanted to lower that threshold?
Yes, which would have been quite ridiculous. And they wanted to increase the clawback rate to 25%. Now, what Labor have done is they've said, yes, we will also increase that clawback rate to 25%, which we think is a great pity, but they will also push up the threshold to $42,700. Now, it's not far enough in our view. It should be up more than that. In Australia, I've just been looking at the figures, the equivalent scheme over there starts to reduce at $52,700 Australian dollars.
And that is to receive the full tax credit
and
the Australian equivalent.
Yes, and that goes up regularly. They adjust that regularly for inflation. The problem with our system is that it's largely unadjusted. It just has sat there. They've got a very complicated way of working out when they make inflation adjustments. A cumulative 5% has to be reached. The effect of that policy has meant that Working for Families has not been adjusted for inflation since 2012. That's a really long time for families to wait. So this year they're getting an increase, which is going to compensate them for that accumulated inflation, plus a bit more, and that comes in on the 1st of July. So there's the changes to the family tax credits I've talked about there. They go up quite significantly. There is also a Best Start policy for newborns, which will come in as well, and there will be an increase to the accommodation supplement.
So there is some positive news coming in around July.
Oh, very much.
Is this going to sort of pull the net out for everyone that needs it and give a lot more support, or is there still going to be people that are not quite able to manage with this new supply, so to speak?
Yes, well, unfortunately, because the government is choosing to use the family tax credit, basically, that payment that goes to all low-income children on the same basis as the main tool, they're facing a dilemma, because if they make the increase in that payment sufficient to lift the very poorest families out of poverty, then it goes right up the income scale and becomes extremely expensive. And that's partly why they've kept that 25% clawback and not gone back to the 20%, and they haven't raised the threshold far enough, because they want to limit the cost of what they're doing. Child Poverty Action Group have argued for years that what is needed to lift the really poorest families up adequately is a policy that gives entitlement to the full Working for Families package to all low-income children.
And you're suggesting to have this start from April 1st, if I'm correct?
And start from April 1st. But currently, the package is designed to exclude the poorest families from the $72.50 a week that I talked about before, which is quite a big part of the family assistance package. And it means that those families won't get enough from Labor's package to raise them significantly out of poverty.
How is Child Poverty Action Group proposing to fund the full Working for Families package to all low-income families?
Well, we're suggesting, for example, that the government does not put the $500 million that it's talked about into the New Zealand Super Fund. That's its policy, that it's announced that it's going to resume those capital payments into that fund. We don't consider that to be a priority when we've got really, really poor families who are suffering from third world diseases and all sorts of things that need to be fixed. So instead of doing that, they would have the $500 million to give the full Working for Families package to all low-income children. That would make a huge difference without going all the way up the income scale. So it would be a very focused way of achieving the objective of reducing child poverty.
With the current Deputy Prime Minister having such a connection to sort of that retirement age voting group, do you think there's any real possibility that they would consider removing that $500 million supplement to the superannuation scheme and bringing it over to this? Or do you think that's a bit of something that might be a bit too hard to achieve with the current makeup of government?
Well, in terms of that group that is currently over 65, the New Zealand Super Fund really doesn't have much impact on the type of pension that they will enjoy, and they enjoy now and will continue to enjoy. What putting money into the fund does is that it takes money raised from the working age population, who are already having to pay for existing pensions. It takes that $500 million from them and puts it into the fund. So it's doing that at the expense of other things that that working age population could be enjoying.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.